such a privilege to be here once again, guys. We are continuing in our series. What am I doing again? It's Elijah and Elijah in today's world. And before I go into that, Kalega is going to read for us. Gosh, feeling a little bit, you know? But praise the Lord. It's going to, from 2 Kings 5, I think 1 to 15.
Morning, everyone. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord has given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the men come to me, and he will now that there is a prophet, he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his servants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for reading that so well. That's a long passage. But again, Kalega, thanks. So my time starts now. So let's see what we can do, right? I just want to open up with this statement. With the prophetic words that were coming, I just feel that there is, I can confirm and say that God wants to do that restorative work. And definitely God is in the healing business. God's love for you today is irrevocable. Means it can't be taken back. Whatever you've done, he still loves you. As you come as you are, he wants to heal hearts, minds, wills, and emotions. There is healing today. And I'm telling you guys, As Angela said, if you just open up your hearts and minds today, you will not leave here the same. Now, we all know this story very well. We should do. Even Jesus quotes this story in Luke 4. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. So what is leprosy? What is leprosy? Well, leprosy is also called Hansen's disease. It's an infectious disease caused by the bacteria Mycobacterium, lepri. It can affect your eyes, your skin, mucous membranes and nerves, causing disfiguration, sores and nerve damage. Leprosy has been around since ancient times. And for centuries, people isolated and shunned those with leprosy because the disease wasn't understood. Today, there is effective treatment, and effective treatment is available, and you don't have to quarantine people. And according to the World Health Organization, there's about 200,000 people, over 200,000 people with leprosy today. Can we show that picture? On Saturday, on our morning prayer meetings, we discovered that Haresh out in India is working with and praying for a community of lepers. And he had the opportunity to pray with this young man who has this condition. We want to continue, you know, we just pray for Haresh as he continues that work. And I'm going to try and have 3 points. I try to do the 3 points thing, but let's just see what happens. But I will be talking about faith. I will be talking about the prophetic voice. And thirdly, I'll be talking about healing. So what do we know about Naaman? What does the Bible tell us? Well, we know he was a great man in the eyes of his master. That was in the eyes of Ben-Hadad, a Syrian heathen king. He was also a mighty man of valor, and the Lord had given him victory over Israel to Syria. But he was also a leper. But because he was a mighty man of valor, it didn't disable him. He could fight. He could function. And now we have, you know, a servant girl captured by the Syrians. She becomes the servant of Naaman's wife. She speaks up about the prophet. There's a prophet, Elisha. Naaman goes to the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and asks permission. And the king says, yep, go see the king of Israel, because back in those days, they sent messages, kings back and forward. And I will send a letter accompanying you to ask the king to heal you. The king receives this letter and its content, and he becomes very distressed. And Elisha hears about it. So where are we going to start? And we also know that the Syrians conducted raids on Israel and brought back this servant girl, who was a maidservant to Naaman's wife, and by all accounts was quite happy where she was. So faith in action, verse 3, we see, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Here we see faith in action as the servant girl proclaims in faith in God through the prophet Elijah. Despite her circumstances, she is still able to point the way to God and lead someone to God. Now, she must have had some influence, because the wife was able to convince her husband, Naaman, to check this out. Now, ladies, am I right in saying it's the neck that turns the head? Is that right? So we see faith in action, and in that, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, without faith, there is no pleasing God. And this young servant girl is living out what she believes, despite circumstances of captivity. Now, we all have a sphere of influence. How far have you been using yours lately? Has it been in the workplace, supermarket, neighbours, families? And I think it's quite easy for us to share our sphere of influence in other things and in other ways. But are we sharing our faith in everyday life? And I'm convinced if more social media influencers were to share about God, but unfortunately, that's not what's happening. The term influencer culture is used to describe the new phenomenon of celebrities who use their fame to promote particular products, influences their audience for money. These figures may have gained fame through social media itself or through the traditional avenues. Now, it's important to be aware that the influence culture, as it can be an excellent way to find out new things, right? Respect. But it also can be dangerous for those who do not realize that the online world is heavily edited. Do you know what I mean? The influencers really actually lead the lives that they portray and put out and post out onto the net. And when they do, it's often not a healthy life to lead. This is especially dangerous for our young people and children who are more susceptible to pressure and likely to constantly compare themselves with the people they see on social media. But as for us, more importantly, are we living out the walk of Christ? Are we living out who God has called us to be? Are we pointing people to God? Are we pointing people to Jesus? He can resolve. He is a miracle worker. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? Now, this doesn't happen to me often. But, you know, I'm doing some web development this week, and I found myself speaking to the web hosting company, which will remain anonymous, because the individual that I spoke to was technical support, and we're recording, right? But I had such a wonderful conversation with this young man, and God prompted me to just ask him, is he married? So I thought, Lord, I'm talking about web stuff. What? Excuse me, young man. Are you married? Are you married, dude? Yeah, what's going on? And then that kind of broke the ice about something, and he was telling me before I knew it, there was an open conversation. I did my 3-minute discovery, told him, yeah, I know the Lord. Boom, God loves you. Boom, boom, boom. And I was thinking, wow. And I got off that conversation, you know, I got off the telephone. And my wife was saying to me, wow, you're more excited about that conversation than you are than decorating the room next door. And I was. And it still needs to be done. So we see the king, he is distressed. He is distressed because basically a messenger's come along to him and said, Naaman's come along with this letter. He opens the contents and he says, nah, surely. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, heal my servant of his leprosy. If you look in the verse, he says, this guy is looking to start a quarrel. This guy is looking to start a war. Who can heal? He is so distressed that he tears his clothing. It's a Hebrew custom when a person was either extraordinarily emotionally hurt, usually of grief, terror, or horror. Am I God, he says, to kill and make alive? That's right, baby. But Joel tells us to render our hearts, not our garments. This is not one of those characters out of WrestleMania. Ah! Then Job stood up and tore his robe and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped. It was a traditional thing. Well, what does this mean? The New Living Translation says, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, he's slow to anger, and he's rich in love. And for some of us today, it means coming back to him. In Revelation 2, some of us, we've lost that first love, but you know, there's that replanting that we just heard. Refreshing in Jesus' name. As we come back to the Lord. But Elijah heard about the king's distress and he said, no, look, send him to me. They will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Send him to me. Send him down. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Faith operating. So Naaman shows up at Elijah's house. He parks outside with his entourage and his chariot. You know what I mean? Comes down, steps off the chariot, walks up. What happens? In verse 10, Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. Elijah doesn't even step outside the house. He doesn't step out the door. Now, Naaman must be thinking, he's an important man. Arriving with his entourage and chariots. No door, he just gets a message. You see, Elijah was a man who wasn't about all the pomp and the ceremony. It didn't matter to Elijah. And for us, sometimes we do get our heads turned with the flashy and the blingy and the treasures of this world. Now, isn't it funny when we are given instructions that suddenly our reactions can be a bit like Naaman's? Hey, do you know who I am? How many times have we given words from the front and some of us, I've been there because I know, so I can say this. I ain't coming down. Nah, man, that word that Sam gave, nah, I'm not going to, no, I'm not, I can't do that. No, everyone's going to see me. They see you anyway. Let me be honest. In my early Christian walk, very early, prophetic word, there was a guy in a meeting and he was operating with a strong prophetic word. You know, it's like he could see into what was going on into your life. Don't you hate those guys? And I was at this meeting, you know, and this guy was operating, as I said, and he said, came to me, he said, look to me, and he said, brother, spirit of murder. And I went, brother, you got the wrong person. And then he went, Lord, yeah, spirit of murder. Not Lord, what is that exactly? Lord, abortion. And there I was, arrested, there and then, under the power of God. And I had to acknowledge and repent of that in front of some people, but God's healing grace, emotionally and spiritually, that word arrested me under the power of God, and I had to operate. I had to acknowledge. Listen, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven completely by his blood and the cross and the resurrection. And if you struggled with anything like that, or, you know, we come as we are. Now imagine Naaman, he stood at the door, to add insult to injury, he just gets these instructions. You know, I've heard it said, and you've heard me say it a few times, you can't give offense? You can only take it. And in that moment, Naaman is deeply offended and became absolutely furious and flies into rage, temper. You know, pride is a funny thing. It's how we get indignant and we say, it wasn't me. And my wife often, I'm always defensive with my wife, you know what I mean? She's asking me something and I'm going, no, it wasn't me, what are you talking about? And Naaman isn't doing himself any favours. To the point that he's asking about rivers, aren't they cleaner? Look, it could be the Thames for all I know. How often do we put God in a box and presume that God is going to heal us in a specific way? You know, we know that Jesus healed in so many different ways, right? On one occasion, he uses mud and he spits on mud and puts that on a person's eyes and says, go wash in the pool of sin. When the paralytic was lowered through the roof, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. Who can forgive sins but God? The religious leaders at the time, they were outraged. You know, God's healing power comes in so many different ways, and we cannot control or understand what God is doing. But the willingness to take simple steps of obedience is a key indicator of faith, and it's our part in receiving the blessing that God is looking to give. How often do we get disappointed? And we're talking about disappointment. It was coming out already this morning in the prophetic. Sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves as well for God to actually work. It comes to a point where you've tried it your way, done it my way. That's it, Lord. I'm done. He says, thank you. Now let me do it my way. Let me show you how I step in. And you know what? I had this, we was in our prayer meeting, and I had this word, and I felt, you know, I saw like a wrestling ring, and it was almost like, you know how they, like WrestleMania, and they're running back and forward, and I got the impression that what the Lord was showing me was a tag team fighting the opposition, and that we tag, and then all of us together, we tag, boom, you carry on. You go, like, it's your turn. You know what I mean? And we carry on. We're all doing this together. But then when I was thinking about that word, I realized that God was showing me something else with that word as well. That when you reach out to get your partner, when you reach out to God and you tag him, when he steps into the ring of your circumstances, it's all over. It's a done deal. It's all over. Because he's in your corner. Last bit, healing. Now, I don't know the significance of dipping yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. But I do know that the number 7 is perfection. And I know that when God gave Joshua in 6, Joshua chapter 6, 1 to 27, the walls of Jericho fell after the Israelites marched around the city walls once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times, the wolf fell down once they blew the trumpets. And God created the heavens and saw that it was good and rested on the seventh day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. You know, nothing is impossible for God. Our God is a supernatural God. And you need to know that resting in the Lord, we have to be able to rest in God. My Auntie Vicky went home to be with the Lord. And I couldn't get to the funeral. I couldn't pay my respects. But I spoke to her on the phone a few days before. And, you know, typical Jamaican woman, West Indian woman. And she always had this expression. And she shared it with me. And she said, "Christ in the vessel smiles at the storm." And she went on to be with the Lord. And that just captured my heart. She knew where she was going. She knew that it wasn't over. She knew that God was in her corner and she was going to paradise. She was going home to be with the Lord in glory. You see, our healing comes in verse 13 through humility and surrender. Again, people prompting Naaman in his pride and that, "Look, Master, if someone had said, if the prophet had said to you, do something amazing, wouldn't you have done it?" And you know, isn't that like us sometimes? You know, we have to be prompted. But God is so gracious to us, isn't he? We might fall over and make those mistakes. We might even turn here and turn there. But he always says, "Look, that way, come on." And in humility and surrender, Naaman obeys, swallows his pride. Brothers and sisters, sometimes, you know, we can be stubborn and stiff-necked. Sometimes we can be struggling with saying sorry, a simple thing like sorry. As God's people, we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And you know what? Sin is sin. And we have to call it out for what it is, whether that is anger, lust, or greed. And you know, if you read on a little bit further on in that story, the consequences of dishonesty and deception, Elijah's mentee, Gehazi, in verse 20. I don't have time to tell you about that, but read it later. And often I'm saying to my worship team all the time, don't play around with sexual sin. Don't mess with God's anointing. A little leaven spoils the whole lump. We have to be those people who are holy. And please listen to me. I've been there. I know. Please don't take offense. Romans 8 reminds us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, okay? Often, me and Denise are in the car, we're driving, and my wife is scanning me, where am I, you know what I mean? And I say, what? And we're driving, right? And she's scanning where I'm looking. But here's the thing, when she's not in the car, where am I looking? Listen, just one touch of the King changes everything. The faith, the prophetic voice, listening to God's voice. "Oh, how I love your law. By them your servant is greatly warned," in Psalm 119. The word in season, in that moment, that word that arrests you or that God is speaking, children of the living God, please be open to react and move at the impulse of his love. Because that word transforms our life in that very moment. And obedience is the key. We must trust and obey. We need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And maybe there's some of you here, you may be struggling with whatever it is. And you might be saying to me, Lloyd, look, I believe God. I read the Bible. But you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand my struggles. You don't understand what I'm facing. And the opposition is too strong for me. Or you might be saying to yourself, I'm too old. Or you might be saying, I'm too young. You know, and I hear that. But guess what? God knows what you're going through right now. And you know, the year that me and Denise started off with, you ain't going to believe it. I couldn't even tell you. But it was a crash bang wallop. Our God is the God of the impossible. He's the God of the supernatural. He's the God of miracles. And as Angela said it, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I thought these guys were trying to tap out my preach. But in verse 14, we see that Naaman obeys and dips himself in the Jordan 7 times, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman was a mighty man of valor, and the Lord gave him victory. And he said, now I know there is no other God. And forgive me when I go back home, when I have to go into the center. Sorry, I think I woke up the little one. Now I know there is no other God. And he tried to give Elijah the reward, the talents of silver. And he said, no, God doesn't get the glory. God doesn't get the glory for that. If you try and do it for money, if you try and do it, it's not for gold or silver. But there is one greater than Naaman, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that is King Jesus. The King of Israel couldn't do it, but there was a prophet who knows that God can. In Matthew 8, 2, the leper's prayer. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowd followed him. Suddenly, a leper came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you could make me clean. He said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately, guys, I think if I can have some piano, Vicky, I believe that God is willing and he wants to touch your life today. By his blood, by his resurrection, by the cross of Calvary, only he can wash away our sins. The perfect, sinless, spotless, sacrificial lamb. And there is a word, there's this word that's been hovering over us, the restoration. God wants to restore those years that the locusts have eaten. And I just believe it's over our house as a people. We've got to, if we want revival, as we've heard, Lord, begin with us, begin in our hearts. God wants to do this restorative work this morning. If you can stand. Salvation is free, but it costs Jesus everything. Salvation is free, but what it's going to cost. Naaman couldn't hand over money. It's not money. Salvation is free, the cost is you. Giving over your life. Now I know for a fact there's some of you here feeling isolated, and God wants to meet you at your point of need, that isolation. You might not be living in a leprous colony, but you do feel lonely. God wants to meet you there. For some of you, It's about stepping out in faith. God has asked you to do something and you're scared. But it is about obedience and being obedient. Just go as you are. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big. I just want to pray for you guys. Just open out your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you're on display for all the world to see when we trust you and obey you as your children, as children of the living God. Thank you, Lord, that when we face opposition or any type of provocation, as we reach out your hand in, Daddy, when you step into the ring of our lives, opposition scatter. Let this opposition scatter this morning. Lord, meet each and every person at their point of need today, whether that's financial, relational, or any burden of guilt or shame, or a sense of loss and grief. Thank you, Lord, for your restorative power, your restoration, that when we confess our sins to you, God, you remove the issue of pride in our lives. Help us to lay that at your feet right now. Take a moment, whatever it is, just think, whatever that thing is, I'm not going to call out. You know, speak to God now in these moments. Just lay it down at his feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, we are washed clean by your blood and your resurrection. The power of the cross has that power to set us free. Help us, Lord, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and to be obedient in all that you've called us as a church and as a body. Thank you for your healing grace, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, you are the God of the impossible, the God of the supernatural, who works miracles. And I've got some words. I don't know how you want to do this, but I believe one of them was God has blessed the Sabbath day, and you need to be able to rest. I think we need to pray for someone. There might be someone here. We need to pray for their knees. And there's someone's hip. And this is an odd one, but I'm going to put it out there. Someone is having some kind of nightmares, vampire nightmares. It's affecting your sleep or it's scaring you. Do come down for prayer. We'd love to pray for you. The team and I would love to pray for you. And there is someone here. You are afraid to give to the Lord work financially. And I feel that the Lord is saying the Malachi 3 thing. God says, test me in this. Will I not open up the windows of heaven?